Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 28, Doors. Today is Friday, December 7th, 2007. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 28, Doors. The scriptures quoted within the message are in Matthew 25, 1 through 12, and Psalm 45 and 10. I'm your host, Janine, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Make an audio comment. The number is 1-715-808-0318 and join the conversation. Your comment will be heard in an upcoming episode. Or you can make a comment at the blog, and that address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Or send me an email to janine@pastorpaul.org. You can join the pastorpaul.org community at www.pastorpaul.org. By joining the conversation, you will be a member of our online social network. Connect to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, and Twitter, and you will find those interactive links at www.pastorpaul.org at the top of the homepage. Pastor Paul's mission, distribution to needy people, is located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue in North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Send your check or make a U.S. tax deductible donation on the homepage. We do need your support. And special links referred to in the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast will be located at the blog in the show notes. You can download the message at the blog and be sure to subscribe to the message so that you will receive it. New messages are available every Friday. And be sure to go into the past archived episodes of the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast, and they're located at the blog. So without further ado, here's Pastor Paul's message, Doors.
Tonight's message is entitled, Doors. So let's look and take a look at Matthew 25, 1 through 12. And it speaks of being prepared. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. End. The end. And the door was shut. But before we start, let's get a better picture of what Jesus is saying here about the bride and about the church. Let's get into Psalm 45 and 10, and it says like this, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people." Now, this is a heavy word. This is a heavy, heavy word. I want you to listen to it. "And thy father's house." Now, this isn't preached a whole lot. Psalm 45 and 10, "Hearken, O daughter." He's talking to the church. "And consider and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Hearken, O daughters, and consider." Well, let's don't wrestle the scriptures here to our own destruction. Let's just take them the way they come. I think this then is a forever the great duty of the church. Faith cometh by hearing, and confirmation by consideration. "Hearken, O daughters, and consider." Next it says, "Incline thine ear." Now this is a heavy word for a heavy, heavy time. Lean forward and don't miss one word. That's what he's saying. Incline thine ear. How do you incline thine ear? You bring it up. You open it up. Next, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Now, to renounce the world isn't easy. No, doesn't happen overnight. But it must be done. Usually, it's done in stages. You go 14 steps ahead, 28 steps back. Huh? 10 steps ahead, 20 back. But see, Jesus is keeping track of every one of those good steps. Now listen. Next, forget also thine own people, thy father's house. Woo! See, it has to be done, and sometimes you're going to have reruns. Well, it's covered, because how many times must I forgive this man? Peter says to Jesus. Jesus says, well, 70 times 7. That was just a quick answer. 70 times 7. Well, now he'll think on that one. Well, let's see. That's 490 times. And before he could even get it out. A day. Oh. See, because a divided heart cannot endure. If our hearts are divided in this end time, we will not endure. Preachers. You four that are writing, calling. If there be any division in your heart, and I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about your heart. If there be any division in your heart, you'll never be able to endure what's going to come on. Say amen. Now the Bible says, in the end, mother against daughter and so on. You know the scripture. Father against son, so on, so on, so on. And a lot of times you'll find this in your very own families. Hear it, hear it, hear it. There's a division. Hearken, O daughters, and that means the church. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the Christian now. And consider. And I said, faith cometh by hearing and confirmation by consideration. So consider what Jesus is saying here. Well, maybe you're with someone with a divided heart. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Pretty heavy word. I think there's a whole lot of people out there stuck in a trap. Evil acquaintances and even those who are, let's say, even those that are but neutral must be forsaken. You know, a neutral person is dangerous too. I didn't do nothing. Well, hey, that's your problem. That's like one time I was with some people and they started to tear down somebody, you see. And so we got away from this thing, and this guy says, and I knew we were going to get together again, and I was planning my line of attack, and this guy says, you know what, I don't want to get involved. You notice I didn't say anything. And I says, I noticed that you're very guilty, or you wouldn't be bringing it up. Because your silence and you're being in neutral ground is just as bad as someone in an open attack. And so I made my move when we got back together again after the little break. See, non-movers are dividers. You ever see somebody sit on the seat of their pants? They always want to gather a group. Why? Guilt. How many hearing this? If they're not moving, they are dividers. Man, I'm not going to do that. That's too hard. I mean, that's a lot of work. Don't you think that's a lot of work? No, you can get anybody to agree with you that work is a lot of work. I mean, it's so easy to gather a group, huh? Come on now. Right? Now, can you gather a group when you say, more work? No, in the world they call them brownies. Huh? Try to gather a group by saying, let's all go to work and let's do double our work. Let's really push and shove. You got to be out of your mind. They're going to find some excuse to escape. To escape this ungodlike speech. Let's all get in there and do our very best. Oh, man, shut up. Later for you. Come on, get off it. Don't be so gung-ho. Take a break. Give me another mint julep. That's where people are at, front steps and mint juleps. How many are hearing this? See, so those non-movers are very dangerous because really they are moving in the wrong direction. They are of no benefit, and they must inflict injury. Now, you find a person doesn't do nothing physically. There's one thing that will always work on them, and it is their mouth. Man, if we could put fingers on some of them people's lips, half of the world could just quit working. See, the body I'm talking about, our house, is a house of sin. The Bible says we are shapen in iniquity. It also says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means hates God totally. The natural mind hates God totally. Now, you can find yourself hating God by getting into hating folks. See, we must come forth of the house of a fallen nature. And that's what we come out of. See, it is, the Bible says, built in the city of destruction. Doomed for failure. Sealed. Well, do we break all natural ties by grace? No. But sinful ties must go. See, we have much to forget as well as to learn. Now, a lot of learning is unlearning. See, that's the problem when you take kids to school and they've learned a whole lot of bad things. And then the teacher is told no discipline, and she's brought up under that kind of thing anyway. It's total nonsense. And so she can't tell them, don't do this or don't do that, or one little splat, or get in your seat, or whatever. See, and them kids need a whole lot of unlearning before they can learn. And it's the same way when we come to Christ. There's a whole lot of things to be unlearned. And I tell you what, the natural world says, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. No, that old dog, the Bible says, has to die. Has to give his life to gain a life. But anyway, unlearning is so difficult that only diligent hearing and, like we just said, considering. Now, if you can get a child to consider. I used to work with little kids. You remember it out in the suburbs? I had all these kids and they'd sit in the front row. You remember that? They'd only be about like 3 or 4 years old. And so Forsake not the little children to come unto me, such belongs the kingdom of heaven. We would start to minister to these little ones, but the whole thing of it, the meat of it was, the crux of it was, is that you had to get them to consider. And so you had to show them, well, hey, now is this right? And you had to make an example, and you had to act it out, and you had to do whatever you had to do to make it get across. And say, now I want you to consider that. My mother used to tell me that. She said, now go in your room and just consider what you did. I want you to think about what you did. Dwell on it. Think about it. And I'd go in there and I'd think about it for a while and I'd crawl out the window. Then sometime about 10 o'clock at night when I was sleeping, all the air would leave my body. My mother was sitting on me. Now I was pinned down and I really had to consider. Now I want you to think about this while I'm sitting on you. Did you ever have 180 pounds sitting on you when you only weighed 68? Didn't take me long to consider it, I'll tell you that. See, only diligent hearing and considering and a bending of the whole soul to it, to the message, can accomplish the work. Well, of course, even all of this being done is so feeble if grace doesn't assist. You can do nothing, Jesus says, without me. Now, that's the truth. And you'll never be able to follow this message without the Lord Jesus Christ, because the natural man hates God and hates God, what God says, and the flesh enters in, and we don't want to forget our whole house. No! Now, listen. First, God must make us willing. I'm willing. Are you willing to walk the life and be in the same situations Jesus was in when they came? Hey, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside. Well, who are they? Who's my brother and who's my sister and who's my mother? Who are they? I'm in the middle of a divine cause. Who are they? And so God has to make us willing. And Jesus said, oh, if you can, any way you can take this cup, but if it can't be done, then your will be done, Father. You saying that out there, preachers? You four preachers out there, and that we're conversing all the time, back and forth. What you have to do is to allow God to make you willing. And when God makes you willing, you will do what He tells you to do against all the obstacles and all the conversation and all the people and all the brothers and all the sisters. And the whole house, and the Father's house, and on, okay? Yet why should we, I thought, remember Egypt? I'm talking about, spiritually speaking, the world. Is it so hard to leave the Pharaoh's hell? The leeks and the garlic? The bars that smell like toilet bowls? Or the tearing up of the social ladder and climbing as high as you can only to have a foot stuck in your mouth? Is it so hard to leave the last rip-off scene? Is it so hard to leave the claiming scene and the hyper-faith scene and the gaining of self-knowledge? Is it so hard to leave the mental wards of this world or the jails of this world? But I think we should forget about hell as we remember heaven. I mean to say, only a fallen nature would fall for such a toilet bowl experience. And so we part with folly for wisdom. See, you can have a whole lot of knowledge, but if you don't have no wisdom to go with it, you're about the dumbest thing walking. This goes to prove to you that it says in the latter day, knowledge will increase. And from 40 to 50, it doubled itself. 50 to 60, doubled itself. Now think about that. 60 to 70, doubled itself. Think about that. I mean, of all the times, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, we are close. We part with the bubbles for eternal joys. Sometimes we like the bubble of fellowship and everybody liking us. Oh, we float and bump each other. Boom, boom, hi. Boing, boing. Little spiritual bubbles bumping each other. Yes. Why not leave that for eternal joys? And the only way you're going to have eternal joy is suffer a little bit and die daily. Get your bubble bursted. Now, I know there isn't such a word, but I like to use that kind of stuff. Okay? For all you English teachers that will be, oh, his speech was deplorable. Who cares? You knew what I was talking about. You wouldn't know how to correct me. Woo! I hope I meet that English teacher up in heaven. Then we'll both have the mind of Christ and we won't be able to correct each other. We part with lies for the truth. And the guy says, what does this mean? Let all men be liars, and let God be true, let all men be liars. All I says next to the truth, whatever you say is a lie. I'm talking about pure truth now. You cannot tell total truth. Not till you become truth. We part with misery for bliss. And we part with idols for a living God. Don't we have idols? Isn't it terrible when our idols die? Huh? Isn't it? Oh, people mourned, you know. John Wayne died. Cagney? Huh? Bogey? Bogey died. What? No, I'm going to go. You're going to leave misery for bliss. See, the scene right now is set for the Antichrist, and so you got to have a message just exactly like this. I think it's sad, but I think it's also true. We need to become more mindful of these things of God. But anyway, worldliness abounds. And I think even the church is defiled by it. The glory of the great King is veiled with a whole lot of nonsense. And only when the whole church leads a separated life will the full splendor and the power of Christianity shine forth upon the world. And it's definitely got to be a move of the Holy Ghost. You may have to say, forget you, to a lot of people and a lot of things. Well, the world says, later for you. Forget you. Maybe you'll have to forget about people. Well, don't feel too bad about it. A lot of them forgot you anyway. Say amen, somebody. And so let us forget. While we're on the mountains, have no love to look back onto Sodom. A lot of times, people, when they connect Sodom, of course, they connect it with the homosexual, and that's partially true. But you know what the great sin was? One of the great sins? Not respecting God. Not considering God. I mean, if you're in the ark, don't fly back to the world like the raven did. If we're set on Canaan, forget the flesh pots of Egypt. About 10 people have asked me of late, why don't you take a vacation? Well, I says, I'm on leave right now. What do you mean? I'm on leave. From where? I said, from heaven. Did you know that? That you're on leave? Are you hearing this message tonight? Are you listening on the radio? Are you hearing it? About 1:45 right now, and you sluggards are laying there, rolling your eyes, wondering if it's God's will for you to get out of bed. See, philosophy is the art of remembering, but divinity, I know, it includes in it the art of forgetting. Why? Jesus says, I will forget. God says, I will forget all your sins. So there's a learning here. I was reading about Socrates, and he taught students to remember. He thought knowledge was nothing but remembering. But the very first lesson Jesus Christ taught is forget. See, in the original Greek, forgive is really forget. There's a lot of things you have to forget. You have to forget being misused, slandered, kicked in the seat of the pants, whatever, it doesn't matter. Bible says forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ. Not in people, not in families, especially in this antichrist age. And so there, I think there's three alls that you really have to look at. Number one, he expects us to part with sinful lust, all the ways of the old Adam, our father's house. And I think, secondly, would be all our worldly advantages. If any man, now this is the original, listen very closely to this. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he can't be my disciple. In other words, he that has all these must be willing to part with them all. Willing to, I said. In relation to the love of God, you got to hate those things. Because if you love them a little bit, you're divided above God. So love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and seek ye first then the kingdom of God first. And so then, with all that said, number three, I think we better get into all self. What do you mean self? Self-will, self-sufficiency, self-confidences, and self-seekings. And so forget about the time. Forget about the problems and the hurts, and let's cross over Sensitivity Mountain. When people get caught in the middle of Sensitivity Mountain. Oh man, I'm just going to sit down, and they're crawling up this mountain, see? And they get up the mountain about right here, and then somebody says something, so they just sit right here on over Sensitivity Mountain. They need to go over. And they get stuck right there. Do not become oversensitive. That is self. Are you hearing this? Better not be sensitive in the end time. Be sensitive to the move of the Holy Ghost. Forget things past. Forget it. What's that song? Come on, forget all your problems. Get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. There is such a song. How many heard that one? I'm batting better than I usually do. So let's go on with this message. Let's look in on those 10 bridesmaids, the prepared and the unprepared. Matthew 25 and 10. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was what? Shut. So hour by hour and day by day, we're being tested. How many went through some tests this week? No, it's not all bad. You must have passed. You're still here. How many hearing it? Now, somebody was getting ready to go to sleep somewhere. I don't know where. But. No, no life is so completely free from emergencies. Did you give a testimony about what happened to you, Debbie? You didn't? But you had an emergency, didn't you? You're not free completely from emergencies. I don't care where you live or what geographic setting you're in, and you listening out there, or wherever. You're not free from emergencies. I mean, the very least adventurous of us meet a fork in the road daily. And I hear someone saying, well, I just mind my own business. Not too much happens to me. Never mind saying that, because you're going to have some kind of an adventure coming your way. Oh, I don't claim it. Don't have to. I didn't say you claimed anything. It's coming your way. I'm not laying a word on you. It's just the way life is. There's emergencies in it. You're driving down the freeway, bam! Oh no. Not now. I remember going through the tunnel down here, and the tires weren't filled up just right, and I had that big black van, and I was going about 35. Going down, it was raining out, and it started to do a walk on me. And it walked in towards that curb, and it walked out, and I thought, if I hit that curb and that wall, this thing is going to flip. And so it started doing one of these hops down the side of this thing, going sideways. You know why? There wasn't enough air in the tires. So the tire, when it started going sideways, left the rim. I definitely had an emergency. I was just driving along, singing a song, mind my own business. I'll just sing it in the rain. Bam! Oh, I'm going all over the place. It was an emergency. Did you have an emergency today? Sometimes it's an emergency for some folks just to get out of bed. The alarm rings, that's an emergency. Bring on the life preserver. His alarm went off. Don't worry, he's not too alarmed. He'll just roll over and turn it off. Put the snooze alarm on. Yeah, I know people that put the snooze alarm on so many times that their radio blows up. See, where we're at today is what I'm saying. Depends upon the turn we took yesterday. So you can't never delay doing something today and expect tomorrow to turn out just your way. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Today. Because when you seek ye first the kingdom of God today, it's going to negotiate tomorrow for you. Well, you might lose a few friends along the way. Well, what you mean you can't go? Well, I got to seek ye first the kingdom of God first, and I'll let you know. No, I got to do this and I got to do that for the kingdom of God. Well, what comes first? Me or the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God. Huh? Do you dare say that? Do you? Out there on the radio? Right down there in the shop? I venture to say, if somebody wants you to go out and have something to drink, and you say, well, I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God, God is going to tell you not to go out there and drink. Oh, no, there he goes again. He's going to seek ye first the kingdom. We know you're going to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's exactly right. But everybody is going to come to a fork in the road every day. Don't say amen, say ouch. Did you run into some forks in the road today? I'm sure everybody did. Right? Decisions is what I'm talking. Did you have to make a decision today? I bet you had to make a decision today whether to paddle or not, didn't you? Did you make the right decision? No. No? In other words, Luke didn't say amen. He said, ouch. He didn't say ouch. He said amen. He should have, oh, I see. Okay, whatever. See, life is full of decisions, and oh my God, it's so hard to make them when to seek ye first the kingdom of God. For some. For all. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Because these day-by-day decisions that we are compelled to make bring us tragedy. Sometimes it does. Oh, what a tragic ending. Oh, who says it's an ending? It's tragedy to the flesh. Look at Paul's flesh. Man, he was so gnarled up. He had been beaten so many times. His eyebrows were folded up with scars over his eyes, and his ears looked like he'd been wrestling for a, you know. Beaten, bent. His decisions brought tragedies into his life. They may rob us of our dearest treasures. Maybe our reputation. You treasure your reputation? Well, you're the only one that does. Everybody else is trying to knock it down. That's what, you know, boxing is that way, isn't it? Ali. You know, all these different characters that get on the boxing scene. You know what I mean? All these golden boys and these beautiful people, boxers and professional track people and so on like that, and they have a reputation. Somebody's always trying to beat them out, and somebody always does. But they may rob us of our dearest treasures and close the door, let's say, of the feast of life in our faces. Now listen, people. The people that end up in the depths didn't arrive there in one single bound. They took the ladder down one step at a time. You ever tried to make a step up in God? With everybody pulling on your ankles? Have you? And there's a lot of people that are in families and they aren't all born again in that family and they're trying to get up. And then there's people trying to get down. They took the same way. They take it one step at a time. They get there one step at a time. They allow life's daily test to work their very undoing. But now, whether our tests bring us sorrow or joy, want or wealth, depends upon our readiness to meet them. Are you ready? Are you content whatsoever state you're in, rich or poor? Hello, sorrow. Hello, pain. Hello, summer. Hello, rain. Makes no difference, personal gain. My dear Lord Jesus is always the same. Are you hearing it? See, you can't let this life get to us or it will undo us. If you allow this old life, this old house, to get to you, it will undo you. Don't let it get to you. So, hello, Minigasco and NSP. Go ahead and lay that big bill on me. Whatever. Hello, beans or caviar. I'm going to be happy wherever I are. No, I'm headed upwards. I can't get down. My blessed Lord is all around. See, I serve a Lord of allowing. He allows things to happen. Well, they meant it, preachers, you listening now. They meant it for evil for you, but God meant it for good. All things are working together for good. Now, there's only one good, and that's God. So all things are working together for God. Yeah, I hear you say, but I don't know who you are, but I'll meet you someday. Yeah, you said, didn't you? But you don't know what they did to me, and I don't want to hear it. I've heard all them stories. Lived a few myself. But listen to this, preachers. It is they that are ready that go into the feast. In the face of it all, and they face all the others, and they go on, and the door is shut. And neither man can open it, nor God. Once it's shut. See, See, it is to enforce, I believe, here this truth that Jesus brings us the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And I thought, oh, what a gripping heart grabber. And only Jesus could tell it in such a way. So full of lights and so full of shadows and triumphs and tragedies and pain and laughter and tears. It has sort of a unmixed beauty about it. It's poetry and it's music and romance. And Jesus says, in essence, here are 10 lovely girls who are expecting to take part in a marriage ceremony. And then the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like unto the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Think about that. What a great picture that is. 10 equally beautiful girls. 10 equally beautiful churches. The 10 churches. Their hair done up in sort of a Grecian curl. Beautiful long white gowns with a sort of a gold, let's say, braided ropes hanging around. And they all had golden lamps. And all, they all seemed so confident and so tall and stately and prepared and alike. You ever watch this? Here she comes, Miss America. Oh man, I'd hate to be a judge. They all look the same. Huh? They all look so confident and so prepared and so alike. But Jesus says, no. This is not so. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were unwise. Foolish, it says. And here again, he only names 2 groups. The ready and the unready. And so it's not like the Miss America pageant. There are no runner-ups. There's only 2 types. The ready and the unready. The accepted and the beloved and the unaccepted by their own doing. See, but we can't see the difference. It's not evident to us. It's not evident when you look at all these girls. You don't know what's inside. When we look at these 10 bridesmaids, these stately women with the golden curls hanging down and goblets of black hair or whatever and just Grecian curls hanging all over and these gowns with golden lamps, they all seem so much alike. Outwardly they are. Their clothes are identical. The gown competition. And their hair is the same and their lamps are the same. Well, the wise have lamps. Well, so did the foolish have lamps. They all got lamps, the wise and the foolish. Do they all have the same knowledge? Are they the same in ignorance? Yes. The foolish know just as much as the wise. The Bible says don't be wise in your own understanding. If you think you know something, know nothing at all. Saving Christ, crucified, buried, rose again. Don't get into that. Well, now I hear you asking this. Do they both know that they have been asked to the wedding as torchbearers? Yes, they all have lamps. Who are you carrying a torch for? You know who you're carrying a torch for when it's a person, don't you? Well, then they all know that a lamp with no oil is useless. right? And so they must have oil. They all also know how much oil they have. And then they are alike in their ignorance of the exact hour of the bridegroom's coming. Does anyone know the time that Jesus is going to come? Oh, there's been several predicted. See, the wise know no more than the foolish. While the bridegroom tarried, they all became drowsy and slept. They all did. See, sleep is a symbol of ignorance. Have you ever seen a smart person when they're sleeping? You ask them a question. Can they answer you? See, the wise and the foolish slept the same. Now, you take a total idiot and you put him down here and you put him to sleep. Okay? Then you take a person over here that's a genius and put him to sleep. Can you tell which one's smarter than the other one? They all slept the same. They all fell out. Nobody set their radio alarms with a 5-minute, let's say, snooze control. The foolish and the wise were making Z's at the very same rate, breathing the same way. God makes the rain to fall on the evil and the good. Both the wise and the foolish are alike in their intentions. Both the wise, I'm saying, and the foolish came for one and the same purpose. Both the wise and the foolish were full of laughter. Both the wise and the foolish were full of tears. Both the wise and the foolish were full of expectations. So they had a lot of likenesses. So let's go on and ask the 10 the same question. Don't they do that in the pageant? Well, number one, I think we should examine this and ask them this. Do you expect to enter in and enjoy the marriage feast when the bridegroom comes? And one of the girls turns to the other 9 girls and she says, here we stand with the very same equipment. The same bodies, the same hairdos, the same lamps. And this man asked me and asked us and asked me if I expect to enter in. Let's have a show of hand, girl. All 10 are going to raise their hand. See, a lot of times people expect something for doing nothing. Now you tell somebody, how many in here, now this is what's wrong with this hyper-faith thing. How many in here are going to believe for $1 million? And they're all going to raise their hands. Everybody in the audience will, won't they? And so you find they're very, very much the same. And so I look at this girl and I'm kind of embarrassed because they all raise their hands. Yes, we expect to enter in. We claim it. So they all had good intentions. Do you ever go to bed and you had good intentions and tomorrow morning, I am going to get out of bed. I'm going to bound out of bed. I'm going to run to the refrigerator. I'm going to fix my breakfast. I'm going to get going real early in the morning. He had good intentions. But when the clock goes off, you set the snooze control. Praise God for kids. They'll get you up out of that wreck. And so a lot of us have good intentions, but good intentions don't do anything. See, that's where the likeness ends. While they are all outwardly alike, while they all profess to be torchbearers, while they all are alike in knowledge, while they all are alike in ignorance, while they're all are alike in, let's say, their intentions, there is one difference. One group is possessed, and I thought about this. What was the difference? One group, and I learned this by watching folks, one group is possessed of a present readiness, and that's where I got last week or whenever I ministered it. That's where I got that message on this one thing I do. One group is possessed of a present readiness. Are you hearing this? For the coming bridegroom, while the other is without this present readiness, they are not ready. Oh, they intended to get ready. Maybe tomorrow, we'll see. But the very great tragedy here is good intentions. A lot of times we have good intentions, but we don't follow through. See, these good intentions need to be put into practice. Meaning to do something and actually doing it is two different things. Well, you said it the other day, Jim. You said, well, now, there, a lot of times people would talk about putting this cooler up, but the talk won't get it up. You remember saying that? Well, you did say it. You already forgot about it, huh? That's all right. This is my message tonight. Forget it. It's true, though, isn't it? Well, I've been a-meaning to do that. Yep, I'm a-meaning to do it. I tell you, once I get rolling, nothing's going to stop me. But you never quite get rolling. Isn't there a song like that? Rolling, rolling, da-da-da-da-da-da, roll, huh? But you never quite get rolling. God. And so the coming of the bridegroom finds them unprepared. Why? Because they didn't put their intentions into practice. Well, you ever hear somebody, oh, I've been a-meaning to do that, I have. I've been a-meaning to do it for a good number of years. How many have heard somebody say that? Well, I meant to do that. Somebody dies, see. The doctor, maybe he's a golfer. And he leaves somebody bleeding over here. Oh, I meant to put a tourniquet on that bleeding leg. Oh, well. Four! Huh? Or a truck driver, or a nurse, or, yeah, you got to add all this, see? See, them good intentions don't do anything. You know, I meant to put dinner on, Carolyn, downstairs. Now, what if you had 600 people down there waiting for dinner and you went up and said, folks, you'll just have to excuse me. Now, I meant to put dinner on, but do you know what? It completely slipped my mind. I'm taking golfing lessons, you know. And it's so much fun. You better stop talking and start running. They don't want to hear about your golfing, see. They'd be sitting there looking like, ooh. You yell four, and that's how deep they'll bury you, 4 feet under. You ever been somebody that's always got good intentions, but never follows through? Oh, they're really sickening. You know what I mean? Huh? You tell your kids that. You know what? Supper isn't ready. I was watching the soaps today, and so it just Sit down. I want to tell you what happened. They don't want to hear what about this. They don't want no excuses. They don't want to hear about your good intentions. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you have to give object lessons to kids. Why didn't you pick up your room? Oh, I was gonna, but so-and-so. Then the next night, oh, how come supper ain't ready? Well, I meant to. I just didn't get around to it. So tonight we aren't going to have no supper. Sorry. Do you think that'll make an impression on the kid? Mm-hmm. Definitely. Do you think it would? I do. You close this mission down one month. Right? Do you think it'd be missed? It's exactly my point. I can't go on good intentions. I have to go on seeking ye first the kingdom of God and doing everything to make this thing go. Okay? I mean, I just can't turn my back on 35,000 different people throughout the month, one way or another, that we're dealing with. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry. No, I mean, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that people want you to do that. That is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. That's not having oil in your lamp, let me tell you. Okay, now, let me get a little rough here. I mean, I got a side to this thing, too. Say amen, somebody. Everybody in missions has. And you talk to these guys in Africa, China, and all over the place. I'll tell you. You nincompoops that are listening to me faithfully out there, and I know you are. I'm not talking to all of you, but there are a few nincompoops out there, right? That would see this whole thing closed down. You know why? Because all you have is good intentions. You intended to do something, but you couldn't take the task. You fell asleep on the job. You know what keeps you going? The grace of God keeps you going. And so the coming of the bridegroom finds them unprepared. See, it is this present unreadiness that is the folly of the foolish. You see, well, if you're ready, you're ready right now. Now, if you're not saved, then you're not ready right now. But I'm talking about your whole walk. You got to be ready. You got to be ready right now. Well, tomorrow's going to be different, but man, right now, I'm going to sit down and take it easy. Janine says she was on the airplane and there was a, what do you call them, stewardess? And then they had this one man, he would just sort of going through the aisles, you know what I mean? He wasn't prepared. And the buzzer goes on, beep, 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 beep. That means lunches for the folks on the airplane. So here comes unprepared, see? And then the prepared one, she was out there, wasn't that the way it went? She had like 20, 30 dinners carrying them. And unprepared had, you know, like 10 little lunches. Then when it came time to pick up the junk, he'd left his garbage bag in the middle of the aisle and he'd drag it a couple of feet at a time. Then when the people left and they were leaving, instead of standing there, I'm glad that you enjoy your flight. Very good. We'll be seeing you. Goodbye, Sonny, and so on like that. Here was Mr. Unprepared sitting there. Goodbye, folks. Did you have a good time? I mean, there's ways of doing things. See? Isn't it? Unprepared. See, a person can even be working and not be prepared. Know what I mean? I had to take a person off of peeling potatoes one time. I thought, this person isn't prepared. They're going to peel their hand off. They were not prepared to peel potatoes. See, some people you can't give jobs to. They're not prepared. And they can be standing by the stove and the whole dinner will burn and they'll just stand there looking at it. Oh, I didn't know. Didn't know where the smoke was coming from. God, man, you only got one hair left on your head. Your tennis shoes are burnt right off your body. You are not prepared. See, there's a whole lot of people, I'm saying, that are in church, and they're not prepared. I mean, they're sitting there, but they're not prepared. They're not inclining their ears. They're not hearing what Jesus is really saying. If you don't hate everything in proportion to the love for me, then you can't be my disciple. And so there's a divine side and there's a higher learning and it's called forgetting. That's really the learning, isn't it? The learning isn't always remembering. Remember? Don't you like to tell sometimes people forget it and they tell the same story over and over? Oh, I remember back in 1948. And it was the third down and we played the double end around the tree Statue of Liberty pass and it was really close and it was only 1 point to go. Are you hearing this? And so this person is always remembering something. What they need to do is to forget. People that are on their jobs and they're not functioning, what are they doing? They're remembering. They're remembering that they're at work and they're remembering the good time they had when they were on the beach and they're remembering this and they're not and they're supposed to forget that and put their and pick up the plow and don't turn back and forget about the past. How many hearing this? See, it is the present readiness that constitutes the wisdom of the wise. I mean, if you're ready right now, instant, it says, in season. Be instant in season. Are you ready? Yes. Be prepared instantly, because God's grace is going to do it. I remember the first load of potatoes I took, was it 2 years ago now? And they said, can you take a trailer load of potatoes? I said, no problem. And so I went over to Old Dutch. The guy says, well, they're right over here. He opened up the back of this truck. And I expected it to be nice, clean, little potatoes in bags. And I looked in and I couldn't even make it out. It looked like a great big lump of mud in there. They was dirty potatoes. Well, see, they grow in the dirt, right? So, I mean, that's the best way to keep them fresh is to leave the dirt on. Did you know that? Yeah, leave the dirt on. They'll stay fresh a lot longer because, see, they're actually still growing then. It retards. See, it's just like taking all the blood out of you. You won't live long that way. Live longer with the blood in you. You won't rot and decay. And so I looked at this great big thing, but with my mind I was thinking, oh no, turn them down. And I looked at this great big lump of mud in there and I said, oh, yeah. So I thought, man, I reverted back to my old days, you know what I mean? Yeah, potatoes, I was stalling for time. Trailer load, huh? The guy says, yeah, that's right, a trailer load. How many pounds is in there anyway? Looks like a lot. Oh, he says 40,000 plus pounds. Oh, that's a lot. And so my Greek mind started working. 40,000 pounds. Man, we're talking tons here. We're talking shovel these babies into bags. But another part of me says, take them. Be prepared, instant in season. Trust in me. And a little voice was speaking to me, and I said, "Well, tell you what, bring them over. We'll get them out. We'll be done with them in a half a day, but you got to bring the trailer over." And I left there, and I thought, a half a day? Man, you got to be crazy. That is a lot of shoveling, as you well know, Jim. And that first load, I found out. You remember we were out there at, George, you were with me. We were out there at 3 o'clock in the morning shoveling these potatoes. And that guy says, I went over here and I said, "God, we got to get some kind of bags. I can't do these in paper sacks. We'll be here until the snow falls. God, what I get into," I'm thinking, you know what I mean? But as I started shoveling, the pile started going down. Well, 5 pounds at a time, every time I took a shovel full. And so we started to make a dent in this thing, and it turned out that the guy didn't only give me 100-pound sacks. You remember how tall those sacks were? They were this tall. They were 200-pound sacks. You remember them big bags? I mean, they were gigantic. The bag itself was too heavy to lift. Disregard the potatoes that had to go in them, all right, folks? And this was a big bag. Now, the bag had to be heavy because it had to hold 200 pounds. So it was a double weave or triple weave or whatever. But this is a huge bag. I mean, I'm talking about a large bag of potatoes, okay? Almost 200 pounds. So they went down in a hurry. So did I. I was wearing out fast, let me tell you. You ever waltz around with 200 pounds of potatoes? But God had people coming. And I said, "Well, why don't you?" He said, "Hey, we've been waiting out here a while." I said, "Well, hey, would you do me a favor? Bounce up in this truck and you load these potatoes up for me, will you? Great, big, strong. Look at the muscles on that guy. Man. Come on up here." So this guy got all macho, you know. "I'll give you a hand." He got up there and I says, "Man, now these potatoes. Now look at this. This guy is really going to town. See, I'll call it conning, call whatever. I had to get these potatoes. I was ready to die, all right? And so I wanted these potatoes in there. So, okay. God still loves me. This guy must have shoveled a couple of tons of potatoes in about a half an hour. I mean, he would just shoveled his brains out. He was just great. Another guy came, and another guy came, and another guy came. About 3 o'clock in the morning, all them potatoes were gone. So the next morning, I got on the phone, and I had to dial it with my toes because my arms was too sore. I mean, my arms were so tired from lifting these big bags up. Do you ever get where you overdo your arm and you can't lift a cup of coffee? It shakes. It looks like you got some kind of, the shakes. You know what I mean? You overexerted. No matter how you try to make it not shake, it shakes. And, oh, man, and the next day after that, I was so stiff, and I was trying to act like I wasn't. You never try to act like you're not stiff when you're stiff. And I thought, stop trying to act like you're a teenager, man. You are old and you are tired. I'm telling you, every bone in my body ached, but we got rid of those potatoes. Not with intentions, but intentions that were put to work. "Incline thine ear," and Jesus spoke to me at that truck and said, "My grace is sufficient. You take them potatoes." And it was the beginning of a lot of potatoes coming. In fact, this year, we went in 40 days, we went through 750,000 pounds of potatoes. Now we're talking potatoes. How many are hearing? And that is only the beginning. We're only touching the very tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. 1,500 folks are laid off right now, AMF. Pray to God that we get food, that we would be able to help them. Pray to God that they'll negotiate and get back to work. Are you hearing this? And so it is the ready and the unready that we meet in this story. Are you ready? And so the potatoes came because we're ready. Are you ready over there? Ready. And another phone call. Are you ready? Ready. 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 Then it is the ready and the unready that make up the congregation and the city and the world. There's always folks that are ready. They got both socks on. And there's the guy that isn't ready, and he goes to work with one sock on and one off. But next, the results follow. So follow me on this. The outcome of this is the difference in destiny. One group goes into the marriage feast, and the other one finds the door shut in their faces. Listen, at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold the bridegroom, go ye out to meet him." And the girls rubbed the sleep out of their eyes. They were all sleeping. They're on their knees now, and hurriedly they're lighting their lamps. They're down on their knees. And five of them were blazing. And the other five sort of did a little light, and then they started to fizzle and smoke up the lamp. And so they cried out, it says, in dismay and in fear, "Our lamps are going out. Give us some of your oil." "Not so," the wise answered, "lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." The Bible says, and when they went to buy, while they were in search of the oil that they never did get, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, the Bible says, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Can you imagine the sound of the door going shut? Click. And the other ones are in the dark, their own darkness, because they don't have oil in their lamps. Well, yeah, I hear someone on the radio saying, "Well, why couldn't the foolish get in? No oil. Not filled with the Spirit." Well, when they came back, didn't they have oil? No. To the ready, in other words, the door is always open. If you're ready, the door is always open to you. If you're ready in your ministry, the door is always open. If you're ready for food, it'll always come. We've got to be ready. That's why they got this big cooler down here. Are you ready? Well, yes, I'm ready. You remember that message? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. You remember that? Years ago? Don't you remember that message? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Do you remember it? And you had about 300 people screaming, I'm ready," or 500 or whatever. Not so ready. Are you hearing this? The door is always open to those that are ready. Come when they may. See, there's a lesson to be learned from this story, and I think it is this: that we may wait so long that we cannot get the needed oil. We may have good intentions, but good intentions doesn't get the job done. I think we may refuse to seek Christ's likeness till goodness ceases to appeal to us. We can put off the job until a job has no appeal. And the more you put off the job, the less appeal it has. Now, can you imagine sitting out there in chairs and looking at those great, huge cooler parts, and everybody's sitting there looking at them? It only has appeal when you get up and you start doing it. You got to start. You got to put your intentions to work. I mean, see, life's greatest emergency then finds us unready. Some people are totally unready for what's going to happen on this planet. Totally unready. If a job loss would come along, they're totally unready for it. Preacher, are you ready? Are you ready? That's why Paul says, I have learned to be content whatsoever state I'm in. I'm ready. I've learned. Great when people love me. But also, great when they don't. When I'm abased. Totally unready. Preachers, there's a whole lot of you out there that are totally unready for any kind of an emergency situation. And how do you get ready? By having oil in your lamps. By being filled with the Spirit of God. By denying yourself. By denying everything if it interferes with your work in the kingdom of God. See, we got to have oil, and to have oil, you got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the only oil you can get. There is no shortage of oil. Not like we have in the world. And you're finding out how short they are in oil, aren't you? They got so much they don't know what to do with it. No, we must have the Holy Spirit oil. We must have light to receive light. It says, Jesus says, he receiveth his own. Light to light. You can't mix light and darkness. But also, we must not make excuses for these foolish girls and say, well, the reason the girls were not ready is Jesus came at midnight. Man, I mean, that's a rude time to come. Well, we're in the midnight hour of this old planet right now. I don't care, I'm just talking spiritually now. We're in the midnight hour of the book of Revelations. This is the midnight hour. And the world is singing, we're going to dance till the midnight hour. Huh? No. The Bible says, watch and wait. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh when you see these signs. And Jesus came in. Well, he took them by surprise. No warning. No get ready alert whistle. No early warning alert whistle. Huh? No, no. Nothing on the radio. No forecast. No, they were no more surprised than the wise. See, the readiness requires, has nothing to do with the knowledge of the time of the bridegroom's coming. Not a thing. The best way to be ready for tomorrow, I'm saying, is to put effort forth today. You want to be ready for tomorrow? Put some effort forth right now. Well, tomorrow's going to be a new day. Tomorrow I'll do it. No. The best way to be ready for tomorrow is to put forth some effort today. If I've ever learned that, I've learned it down here in the mission. Oh, let's pack the bags tomorrow morning. And tomorrow morning, nobody comes in. You got 10 people here. And you got all those bags to pack. Better to say, let's put forth the effort today because you don't know about tomorrow. Now you're prepared for tomorrow. Right? You remember coming in here and nobody shows up? What happened today? I come in. Carolyn says, Wendy and I are the only two here. Well, that wasn't exactly true because I was here. And then Janine came off of vacation. So we had four, right? Then somebody crept in late, and then a court referral came in. And another guy came in and donated some time, so God blessed us. But see, we were prepared the day before. I mean, we could have, see, all the food was ready. Did you notice? It was all ready. And isn't it a wonderful thing right now that we'll be able to cook up in 4 hours all the food we will need for a whole month? Do you imagine what that can do? We'll have time for other things. Oh, good, then we can take it easy. No, 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 no. We have time for other things. Oh, no, God. What next? We don't know, but we're going to be ready for whatever comes next, right? Sure. Now, we were getting all of these paper sacks free. Now they're $20 a bale for 500 bags. Now, add it up. 12,000 bags a month going out of here. You know, about 3 months ago, I was thinking about, you know what, we're going to have a drive down here. I am going to weigh a bale of bags. And they have these paper drives, and I'm going to pay the kids so many pennies per bag. Oh, I'm not going to give them $20 a bale, I can tell you that. Now I was talking about it, and then Janine came up with the same idea, and I thought, well, then that's what we're going to do. Send the kids out to pick up these bags and be prepared for what's coming on. $20. They used to be $10, now it's $20. It used to be free. Better be ready. Better have food in your bag. But you got to have the bags first. Sorry, folks. Can you carry all these groceries? It's only 60 pounds of groceries. And they're trying to juggle all these oranges and apples and lemons and celery and cauliflower and lettuce and hamburger and peanut butter and bread and a number 10 can of sweet potatoes and ketchup and butter and cheese and everything in their arms. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to pray. And we're going to move. You know what I've learned to do when I get in trouble? Double time. Go double time. Pour the coals to her. Full speed ahead. During the Second World War, they used to have a saying. And these ships were trying to make it through, and these torpedoes were coming in, blowing them up. And someone said, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." My exact sentiment. Full speed ahead. Help! Oh, yeah, but Pastor Paul, it's going to be a whole lot easier now. I mean, we got that big cooler and we got them cookers and everything. Well, think about it. You got 10,000 gallons of soups and stews to make every month with them cookers. Now, I don't care if you can make enough for 1 month. Now, I'm talking about there's going to have to be two shifts here making this stuff. And I talked to a guy today that's investigating making a flash freezer. That it'll take 5 minutes for the stuff to run through a flash freezer. I'm going to get all this knowledge because he's going to go over with somebody from the University of Minnesota, and he loves to learn and all this. And I love I love to hear that he loves to learn, because I wanted to bring that knowledge back down here, and it's the same friend that did the cooler downstairs for me. Oh, praise the Lord. Whoa! And he's going to make me a little old flash freezer, and you run the stuff through, and in 5 minutes, it is as hard as a rock. So that's what we're going to do with our time. We're going to flash freeze gallons of soup. Are you ready? We'll see. I think I am. My intentions were good. Did you ever hear someone say, oh, his intentions were good? Never give somebody an out like that. Oh, he meant well. And there's four people dying. Huh? No, do your best today. What we do right now affects later. And for us to be ready for eternity, we need oil, the Holy Spirit, and to live the life as faithfully as we can, the best it is within us. Well, let's go on. We'll lock this message up. I hear somebody on the radio saying, even now, the wise should have shared their oil with the foolish. And then I hear someone saying the wise ones were not very loving. They went in and the door was closed. They could have shared with them. Did you ever see squirrels out there? They get ready for winter. They got the red squirrels. Do you ever see a gray squirrel? And they'll come over and try to take some of those nuts and stuff out of there. Hey! How about sharing some of them nuts in there? Looks like you got a whole lot of them in there. You think he's going to get some of them? No. In the animal kingdom, it is survival. You are prepared. You're either ready or you're not ready. The mama wolf knows that. Mama turtle knows that, and she prepares the little ones. Some make it, some don't. Well, why didn't they share their oil? I think it was just terrible. Can you imagine the door going shut and all them other five virgins are in there smiling away? No, you can't do that, because each lamp is a different make of lamp. Different wicks, different bodies, mantles. Different oil holders, different people, different bodies. Now, I had one of these kerosene burners, okay? And it heats up. They exaggerate what they'll do, you know what I mean? But they do heat. So anyway, I had one of these oil burners, and I took the little starter thing out of there, and I took it to a hardware store, and the guy said, oh yeah, I know what that part is. I said, would you please look it up in the book? Because I says, there's a whole lot of these out there, and I don't want to go back and have the wrong number. How many have gone down and got brakes for their 1952 Buick and got the wrong brakes? Anybody in here or whatever car? Did you ever go get a part? Because the guy said, oh yeah, these are the ones, these are exactly the same. And they're not the same, because the guy didn't look up the number. Well, they couldn't do this with the oil in their lamps, and they couldn't give them oil because they had different wicks, they were different models, they were different everything. What am I getting at? There's some things that we can't pass hand to hand. Like money. Like property. Like diamonds. Can you transfer somebody's love onto somebody else? Huh? I'm going to transfer this. I'm going for a transfer. Can you pour the oil of salvation into another's oil holder? Can you give someone else the Holy Spirit? No, it won't burn.
Thank you for joining the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 28, Doors. If you'd like to make an audio comment, that number is 1-715-808-0318, or send me your comments, questions, and suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. You can also make a comment at the blog, and that's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. You can also join our community at www.pastorpaul.org or make a contribution on the homepage. Until next Friday, have a great week, and God bless you. So if you're